But today is our Mission Sunday. As you sat down, you probably, if you didn't see this, number one, you might need to go see an eye doctor, and because you're sitting on it. And number two, let me just tell you a little bit about it. So today is our Mission Sunday. Now, we normally do something a lot larger in scale than this, just with everything we want to kind of respect, again, where we are in our culture. But missions is has always been, since our since we began pastoring here 28 years ago, it's always been a priority. I believe in missions. I believe in what missions accomplishes both locally and around the world. And how we set our missions budget is we ask believers to make a faith promise, which is to commit above normal tithes and offerings a portion that goes to missions. And this is how we set our missions budget for the next year. And this is a Sunday that we set aside every year to do that one time out of the year. If you've been with me any length of time, you know I'm not a money guy. I'm not a money preacher. I just simply say, let's honor what the Scripture says and trust God to do what He said. Amen? So before I introduce our speaker this morning, if I were to ask you who traveled the farthest, I would imagine we have some folks that came maybe from the Metroplex or what have you that are here today. But we've got a lady this morning that has traveled the farthest of anybody. In fact, she has come from the other side of the planet. And so go ahead and show this.
Good morning, Bethel Temple. This is Amy Farley here in Ho Chi Minh City, Vietnam. I am in my apartment where I have spent literally like the last 5 months alone in this little apartment. We have been under an intensive lockdown due to COVID here. And I just found out this morning that I am going to be allowed to finally go to a grocery store. So I am excited about that, to get out and to be around people. But I want to thank you, Bethel Temple, for your faithful prayers, for your faithful giving. Even though we are in this intensive lockdown, we've been able to take all of our ministries online. Now, while we much prefer to be together physically, these things continue to happen. If you don't know, some of you may not know me, and you may not know what's happening here in Vietnam, but I pastor an international church, and just recently, you know, an international church basically means it's an English-speaking church. So we minister to young professionals, we minister to people from all over the world who are living here in Ho Chi Minh City, including Vietnamese who are speaking English. But then we also recently were able to plant a Vietnamese-speaking congregation in afternoon service on Sundays, and that has been exciting to see God opening doors and what He is doing. That service is specifically for those who speak Vietnamese only. At the same time, we are involved working in an orphanage and involved working with a school for the extremely poor, involved with working with middle-class families through a business program called Life Skills. So there are so many things going on here in Ho Chi Minh City, Vietnam, and we are excited about what God is going to do. So thank you. Thank you for being faithful in your partnership with me here in Vietnam.
Amen. Amy is one of our heroes. Amy, amen. That's a good place to do that. What an incredible job. Amy, I hired her right out of college. She was our very first full-time children's pastor, and she told me when I interviewed her that her life's goal was to be a missionary. She was in Africa, and then now she is, as you heard, in Ho Chi Minh City, Vietnam, doing an incredible, incredible job. We have supported her in missions from day one, and projects that she's started there. We have supported her. Listen, missions is a big deal. It starts with our BT kids. BT kids are meeting right now across the way in the Family Life Center upstairs. BGMC with our kids. Our children's ministry has always been out of 600 and some odd churches in the North Texas region. We've always been, for many years, we were in the top 10. For several years, we were in the top 5 and top 3 in giving, because missions is an important part of us. Our student ministry with Speed the Light. Just recently, some of you saw us. We presented a check to Spencer Speed for $10,000, which went to purchase a Speed the Light vehicle for a Convoy of Hope in Nicaragua. So missions, is we start them out in kids ministry, goes into youth ministry, and then we as adults, we do it as well. And so that's what today's all about. We celebrate missions. We celebrate the fact that some people go and some people send. And it's not one of those things we pray about, because He's already told us what to do. How many know when God's already told you something to do, you don't have to pray about it? Amen? Well, that was very weak. Let me just tell you, if God's declared it, you don't have to pray about it. And so he's already told us that we're to send, we're to go, we're to do whatever we can to get the gospel around the world. Well, this morning, a dear friend of mine, I'm glad to have him with us. We always enjoy having Brother David with us. We kind of bounce back. David Raley has for years and years been at the national office. He's from Alabama. Roll Tide, my buddy. He's just an incredible man. You know, you'd think after leaving the national office, you'd want to retire and kind of take it easy and fish and watch Alabama football. Not him. He and Tom Green actually started Green and Raley. They travel literally around the world, but mostly around this country, raising missions funds. They're helping connect resources with the need, and they do an incredible job. He's gone a lot. I don't know how Pat puts up with it. He's gone an awful lot, but he's doing that thing, connecting resources with projects and missionaries. And for that, I am eternally grateful, and I know heaven will be better because of it. Would you make welcome my friend David Raley?
Come on, praise the Lord. Why don't you give the best pastor in all the world a hand? Don't you love Pastor Mike? Wow. He and Sheila are two of the precious gems that God has put in the kingdom, and he's given to you and loaned to you. We just love them. Pat sent me a note earlier. She said, you say hello to Sheila and Mike for me. We love them. We love their heart. He's the man of God. I believe he's one of our best in the Assemblies of God. But I love him because he's just a regular guy. He's a man among men. He took me fishing yesterday, and I had pictures of all the big fish that I caught. You see the little finger there, right? And I was going to post them, and he started catching fish better than me and bigger than me, and so I'm not posting any pictures today. But he is so kind. He's sending the fish that we caught home with me, so I love him for that. Amen. But God has blessed you and done so many wonderful things in your church, and it's always good to be back here. Tom and I both enjoy coming to this church because you represent the best of the Assemblies of God. You have been involved in so many wonderful things to help us around the globe. Literally, what you guys do, the sun never goes down on it. I mean, I know you don't brag on yourself. He brags on you to me and to others, but he doesn't put it out there what this church does. But you guys are making a difference and have made a difference around the world. So, and I don't say that to blow you up or to puff you up, but just to acknowledge what you're doing for missions and what you're doing for the community is a statement of faith to those outside of faith. So thank you for that. And today, again, we're going to celebrate that. We're going to talk about that. I have a lot to talk about. I have a lot to share. I'm going to start in the middle. I'm not going to talk as fast as I did this morning. I'm from the South. I'm from Alabama. I live in Missouri, but I'm from Alabama. And you know, Pastor, we talk slow in Alabama, and we sing fast. So I'm not going to sing, and I'm going to talk. I will talk as fast as I can. God's just doing so many wonderful things in the fellowship. You know this. The Assemblies of God was started in 1914 back in those Arkansas hills, the Ouachita Mountains, beautiful place, but you can get lost there. In fact, God has to have a GPS to find Hot Springs, Arkansas. It's just way up in the hills. But that 300 guys and gals later up in Chicago in the Stone Church committed themselves to the greatest evangelism on the face of the earth. That was almost laughable. I mean, people thought, how ridiculous that they think they're going to evangelize the world. Well, it's not laughable anymore. Today, we're not 300 representatives, but over 70 million people around the globe. And some folks tell me that if we could count those people that are in countries that we can't speak of, that we would double that number overnight. The Assemblies of God is in more countries than the United Nations. In fact, somebody said that in some countries, the biggest thing there is Coca-Cola, McDonald's, and the Assemblies of God. And I like all three of them. Amen. Just really amazing. Every hour or so, we start a brand new church in the Assemblies of God. Think about that. Every hour or so, every 20 or 30 seconds, somebody gives their heart to Jesus through the preaching of one of our missionaries or pastors around the world. Every 100 minutes, there's a brand new church that opens somewhere on the globe that has an AG logo by it or an AG representative that is doing that. And we do that by sending missionaries. What you guys do in a Faith Promise service every year or many times through the year is sending and helping the missionary, like Amy, to go and to stay and do what God has called them to do. Some of them preach, some of them teach, some of them go and build businesses. They do all types of things. They build what they call a platform, like I'm standing on a platform. Well, they build a ministry platform in a country, in Muslim countries, in dangerous countries, in difficult countries. And we have nearly 3,000 of them that are around the world. I don't know how many U.S. missionaries. We got all kinds of groups and entities that are infiltrating the world and bringing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, the thing that is really good about your fellowship and the church that you're involved in is that we don't only send missionaries, we equip missionaries. Pastor reiterated some of that. BGMC, those little yellow barrels that you see the kids have and they shake them in front of moms and dads and grandpas and grandmas, turn us into human ATM machines. Literally giving millions of dollars to missionaries. Never been turned down by BGMC. They provide the tools that missionaries need. They don't have policy that restricts them to what they can do. But whatever it is a missionary needs, they help to provide it. Then Speed the Light, I have the opportunity to lead that ministry. They're looking at giving $15 million this year. Speed the Light helps young people to find an agency, a vehicle that they can funnel their passion to help missionaries through buying cars and vehicles and sound systems. And in fact, they buy camels and donkeys and horses and have bought some airplanes. In fact, one place we bought a missionary a yak. Not going to do that anymore. They had a snowstorm and they barbecued our Speed of Light equipment. I think that missionary may have been from Alabama. I'm not real sure. We'll barbecue anything, put a little sauce on it. Amen. But isn't it good that we could say that the first car that a young person buys is not for themselves, but for a missionary to preach the gospel around the world. And young people are doing it, and we applaud the young people of our churches. Men providing light for the lost materials, Bibles. Today, the Fire Bible that was created by one of our missionaries. The Spirit Life Bible is what we know it about. It is the most used study Bible on the face of the earth today. Literally putting in the hands of pastors around the world, in their heart language, the message of the gospel, the Bible, so that they can, it's like a 3-year college education. It gives them the tools that with the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, they can adequately communicate the gospel correctly to the people that God has given them to serve. Fire Bibles buying tracts and literature all over the world. Penny tracts. I remember one of my friends out of Montana was in a country, a Muslim country, Lagos, Nigeria, and they were passing out tracts. And the next day, the van full of men passed by a policeman, and he waved them down. And listen, if you're in a Muslim country and you get waved down by a policeman, it will scare you. And they pulled off the side, and they said, "Yes, officer, can I help you?" Said, "Were you the people passing out the pamphlets yesterday?" "Well, yes, we were." He said, "Well, yesterday I was a Muslim. Today I'm a Christian." Yeah, I mean, these things just absolutely blow my mind away. But you guys have been a part of that in your giving and helping us with Bible schools around the world. Cuba, hopefully I'll get to tell a story about Cuba before I get done. But just the things that you have been involved in, it's just absolutely amazing. So what you're doing today is helping your church through this Faith Promise. This is not for any reason other than they're going to figure a budget, figure out what they can do when people like me call and say, "Hey, I need help, like I'm meeting tomorrow with pastors around the country in Springfield." And we're hoping to finish the Network 1211 project of reaching 100 million Christians with the gospel of Jesus Christ on the internet. This was an impossible thing when it came to us, but right now they have reached 45 million people with the gospel. Would somebody say amen? For every dollar we invest in them, we can reach 20 people. And North Texas, your district superintendent several years ago, he committed $1 million to this project. And absolutely, we raised the money in North Texas, and you guys helped us to make that happen. So pray with us. These things are happening. It's amazing what God is doing. I'm going to share from some thoughts, and they'll put some scriptures up, Romans 1:16, 1 Peter 2 and 9, and then there'll be other scriptures that have come. I preach real simple stuff. I'm not that smart. I have a weight on my heart about all the things that are needed for what missionaries need. I'm the most inadequate person to share these things, and I feel the pressure of communicating and motivating you to be a part of what God is doing. I don't feel as much pressure in this church because you guys are part of the choir. You're part of what God is doing. But sometimes I preach sermons like, why missions? Why do we do missions? Today I want to talk about missions is. You know, what is missions? And it was based upon a Facebook post that one of my friends posted. Mike Glover from Arkansas, he pastored here in Texas. He made this statement. He said, missions is a myth until the church obeys the command of Jesus to go. Don't just define missions as faraway jungles and mountains. The mission field is as close as your neighbor, your school, or your workplace. Would you say it, man? I responded back to Mike. I said, you're right. Missions is becoming, it's being, it's doing, and it's sending. I believe that the true mission process that your pastor has adequately and unbelievably taken you through is to become a Christian, is to become more like Christ, and it's to do the work of the gospel, and it's in sending the gospel around the world. So if I was to put it in a sentence, as my mentor would tell me to do in every sermon, he said that Christ's mission for us is to become a Christian. We should be becoming more like Christ. We should be personally bringing the good news to others. And finally, we should be sending the gospel around the world. We should be transformed. We should be conforming. We should be informing those around us. And we should be sending the gospel to the world around. Missions is the gospel. Missions is the gospel, and the gospel is to us, it is for us, it is through us, and it is by us. Let me say that one more time. The gospel is to us by Christ. It is through us, it is for us to become more Christ-like. It is through us to share, and it is for us to send around the world. Romans 1:16, Paul said it so beautifully by the Holy Spirit. He said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believe it, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I don't know how God can use me, but I know this, that when I proclaim the gospel, there is an unction in me that is supernatural that can change your life, because what he did for me, he can do for you. And believe me, friend, what he did for me was an unbelievable miracle. Would you say amen? 1 Peter 2, 9 said it so beautifully. He said, for you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his possession, so that you may proclaim the praises of the one who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, I like to add, once you did not count. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. God took something that was nothing, and he made something that he could do something beautiful with in this world, and that is you, my friend. God has his hand on you to change the world around us. And Matthew 24:14, Jesus declared that this good news of the kingdom will be proclaimed in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end shall come. Anybody and everybody can say it cannot happen and it will not happen, that Islam will take over the world, that socialism will rule, that communism will take part of our lives, that we are doomed to the sin that is around us. But friend, I declare to you this morning what Jesus said. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world through people like, come on you, like you and I, and we will literally see the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the earth. Would you say amen? And it's not just happening by us wonderful people in the United States, the Church of Jesus Christ here. It's happening all over the world. We have a church that you guys are helping, a work that you guys are helping, and it's in an Islam country today. I will not call the name. I will not even name the title of what they do, and I will not tell you where it's at. But I can tell you, in this Muslim area of the world, over 24 Arabic countries have Bible studies that are happening in them. In one country, this Bible study has over 250,000 believers. In some of these countries, every mosque in the nation has these Bible studies in them, and even the imams are going to them and listening to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Over 40,000 underground Bible studies are happening around the world. And how are they disciplining and discipling their people? That if you are a part of these Bible studies, you have to first believe in Jesus. You have to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You have to be engaged in works of compassion, and you have to share your personal testimony. And let me tell you something. This is not easy places. We were just in a meeting last week, and over 50, somewhere between 50 and 60 martyrs are part of this ministry right now. People are literally losing their life. But you know what? They are committed to the process that God sent his son so that I could be saved. And I am to become more like Christ-like. And I am to share the faith of Jesus Christ. And I am to share the gospel around the world. I say it again. Missions is the gospel. And the gospel is to us. It is for us. It's through us. And it is by us. Number one, if I was to say, what is the first thing in this process? One, you're to become a Christian. Listen, it's good what we do. It's good what we share in our community. But Jesus said this Nicodemus in that night talk that he had with him. He said, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. It does not matter how good you are, how much you share and how much you do and how much money you give. What the first process in this today is that you become a Christian, that you allow Jesus Christ to come into your life and to accept him as Lord and Savior. Can you say amen with me today that we know Jesus Christ? Can you say with open hands that Jesus Christ has delivered me and he saved me from the world? Would you say amen? Romans 10:9, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses unto salvation. Listen to me. Church is not about the numbers. Church is about people walking down an aisle or standing at a seat and saying, I accept Jesus and his mandate upon my life. Jesus is first in my life, and I give my life to him. Secondly, this process is about becoming more Christ-like. Now, listen to me. When I got saved, I was instantly saved. If I would have died, I'd have went to heaven. But if you'd have walked outside, you might have seen me still smoking cigarettes. I was saved, but I was still had bad habits. If you would have seen me the next week and you were on the job with me and you said something ugly to me, I might say something ugly back to you. In fact, if you were to hit me, I was guaranteed I was going to hit you back. I mean, that's just my nature. I grew up that way. I was trained that way. That's who I was. But so what I had to do as I became a Christian, I had to become more Christ-like. You know, every once in a while, my wife and I of 48 years will get into a loud argument, not a fight. A loud argument that she usually wins, okay? But we'll get into a loud argument. And every once in a while, she'll say, when I'm going over the top, she'll say, David, is this a good time to practice the fruit of the Spirit? I don't like that. See, what happens as we become a Christian, we have to learn to practice being Christ-like. Years ago, I became an insurance salesman. The day I become an insurance salesman, I had the little label, David Raley, insurance salesman. But if you were to ask me to buy a 20-year level term, guaranteed renewable, I would look at you and say, well, yeah, I guess, but I wouldn't have a clue how to sell you that policy because I had not become a proficient insurance salesman. But as I learned, as I studied, and as I practiced, I became one of the top insurance men in my company. Now, how did that happen? I began to practice and act what they said I was. And listen, you that are Christians in this house, some of you have not been practicing your faith. Some of you continue to do the same thing you've always done. And my encouragement to you today is get in Galatians 5:19 and realize that those things of the flesh happen automatically, but the fruit of the Spirit is something that we begin to practice. So as we practice, we become perfect. Now listen, practice doesn't make perfect. Practice makes permanent. So if you continue to practice the deeds of the flesh, that's going to be permanent. But if you begin to practice love, if you begin to practice joy, basically it's I'm less angry and I'm more calm. I'm less anxious and I'm more peaceable. I'm less doubting and I'm more faith. I'm less hate, I'm more love. I'm less unhappy and I'm more joy. I'm less envy and I'm more appreciation. I'm less drunkenness and more abstinence. I hope anyway, amen. I'm less impatience and I'm more patience. I'm less unfaithful and I'm more faithful. I'm less abrasive and I'm more gentle. I'm less irrational and I'm more self-controlled. I am becoming more Christ-like to those around me. On the outside, I'm smiling. Sometimes on the inside, I'm really gruesomely going through this thing. Kind of like the little boy who wouldn't sit down at the bank, and his mother got so upset with him, she couldn't get him to sit down. She finally took him by the shoulders and pushed him down on the seat, and he looked at her, and he said, well, Mama, I'm sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. So becoming more Christ-like is to practice our Christianity. Secondly, doing the work of an evangelist. You are not only called to come and sit and listen and pray and worship, you're also called to tell others about what Jesus has done for you. 2 Timothy 4:5 said, As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. Now, I like what Paul said again in 2 Corinthians 5:17. He said, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old's passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God who through Christ reconciled us. We talked about that in Sunday school. Who reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Look at this. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. In other words, God has given each of us in this room the message of reconciliation. Now, what is that? That is to tell the world that God's not mad at you anymore, to tell the world you don't have to go to hell, you don't have to live in hell, you don't have to die an alcoholic, you don't have to die in your sins because Christ died so that you could live. I used to train young people to do evangelism, and this is what I'd give them, 3 things. You need to tell people what your life was before you got saved. Then secondly, tell them how you found Jesus Christ. And what was your life after you found Jesus Christ? You had a mess in your life, but you got a message right now. Somebody picked me up at the airport the other day. They said, Dave, do you have any baggage? I said, no, I have luggage, but I don't have any. I have baggage, but I don't have any luggage. All of us got baggage. Amen. But listen to me. The baggage that came in your life, God has allowed so that you could use the baggage to tell somebody you don't have to carry the baggage anymore. Christ has took your luggage. Come on, somebody. He's took your bags and he's reconciled you to God. Hallelujah. Well, and you must share. Now, I've seen people today, and I wonder, have you really got right with God? Because they don't tell nobody. I had some Catholic folks that came to Christ. Catholic folks are weird when they come to Christ. They are radical. These folks were the most radical people I'd ever seen in my life. I was a young preacher, 24, 25. I'd never seen anything like this. One of the girls, she was a hairdresser. She would get them in a, where she'd wash their hair in the basin. When she got them in the basin, she'd start telling them about Jesus. Well, you can't leave, your hair's wet. I mean, she did it over and over again. There was three of the brothers. They were amazing evangelists, telling folks about the Lord, carpet layers. They were in two vans, and they were going down I-20, and one of them picked up a hitchhiker, and on the process of picking him up, they began to share Jesus with the hitchhiker. Finally, the hitchhiker said, "I don't want to hear this anymore. I'd rather walk. Let me out." Well, they let him out. Well, the other boys were coming down the road, and they saw the hitchhiker. They picked him up. And they started sharing Jesus with him. And he looked at him and he said, "I don't know what's going on, but this is twice I've been picked up today. Twice somebody's told me about Jesus." And they ended up praying with him to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Would you say amen? Just, I mean, stuff like that. I mean, one of the boys, Anthony, I'll never forget. I was preaching on Sunday night. Anthony got up and left. Got up and left while I was preaching. And I thought, what is going on with that boy? And later he come back and see me and said, "Brother Riley," I said, "What'd you leave for?" He said, "Brother Riley, the Lord told me to leave." I said, "Okay, the Lord told you to leave while I was preaching. I get it. So I got this." And I said, "Tell me, what do you mean the Lord told you?" "The Lord told me to go down to the Baptist church." I'm like, "Oh boy, this is not good right now." And he said, "I was sitting in that church and God showed me a couple in the church. And I started praying for them, and in a little while they got up and left before the service was over." And said, "I followed them out and we stood on the steps of the Baptist church. And I introduced myself to them, drummed up a conversation, and found out they were Catholics. And they said, 'Well, we come to this church just because we're searching for something, and we wanted to find out what this was about, but we're so confused about what we heard.'" And he said, "Well, you know, I understand that. I'm a former Catholic, and let me tell you what you heard." And on the Baptist church, my former Catholic led those Catholics to Jesus Christ. And I told him, I said, "It's okay that you left my preaching." God put something in you for you to share. You know, the churches around the world are radical about this. I think about my friend from Voice of the Martyrs who shared with me. He said, "I was 50 years old and never shared my faith. I grew up in church." He said, "I was on a flight to China and I sat down and a little 25-year-old girl sat beside me and on the other side a businessman. And the little girl tapped me on the shoulder. I had my earphones on, didn't want to talk to anybody. Tapped me on the shoulder and said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Sir, are you a Christian?" He said, "That was weird." I said, "Well, yes, I am." She said, "Well, do you read your Bible every day?" "Yes, I do." "Well, do you pray every day?" He said, "Yes, I do." She said, "Well, do you share your faith every day?" He said, "No, I don't." She said, "Well, I will pray for you." She said, "Now you must pray. I'm going to ask the man next to me if he's a Christian." And she did, and she turned back in a few minutes, and she said, "We must pray for him. He's not a Christian." You know, any wonder why the church in China is having 40,000 people every day come to Jesus Christ? Because when they come to Jesus Christ, they believe they must share the gospel of Jesus Christ with everybody around them. Would you say amen? Well, lastly, we're to send the gospel. We're to send the gospel to places you cannot go. Either we're to go carry the gospel or we're to be a missionary. You have produced missionaries. I look at Amy. I think about Ben LaFon that used to be in this church. A few years ago, you had me here and Ben got me at the back and he said, "Hey, Brother Riley, you must continue to tell the story of Peru." Even as an elderly man, he would not let me go. And I remember a story that came out of Ben LaFon out of Arequipa, Peru. That Shining Path were running around there taking people's lives, church people's lives, shutting churches down. This was in the Pentecostal Evangel many years ago. And they went to this one pastor, told him, "You don't shut the church down, we're going to kill you and your family." He went to these elders and told them what they said. And the elders said, "We love you, pastor. You must leave because they will do this." So they shut the church down. Pastor left. But after a couple weeks, this deacon Antonio, he went to the other deacons. He said, "I'd rather die than not have church." And he said, let's start having church again. And so they gathered for church. And the church was worshiping and praising the Lord. Deacon Antonio was leading the worship service, and in through the back walked the Shining Path soldiers. They walked up and put their finger in his face and told him, said, "We told you not to do this." They put a noose around his neck and drug him out of the church, drug him into the town square. And while the people were crying and begging and praying, they hung the deacon until he was dead. Well, when they got done hanging him, they released him and let him fall to the ground. The only problem is they hung a Pentecostal. The church believed that what once was dead can live again. And they gathered around Deacon Antonio and began to pray. And Deacon Antonio stood to his feet. Well, that was not the end of the story. The Shining Path got really angry about that, so they hung Deacon Antonio again. They were sure he was dead, and when they were sure he's dead, they let him his lifeless body go to the ground. Problem about a Pentecostal church is they believe if God did it one time, he can do it again. And they gathered around and began to pray, and when they prayed, Deacon Antonio stood up, the Shining Path ran and left them there, and they continued having church. What I'm telling you, the faith that you have, come on, the faith that you have is needed right now in America. Do not allow anybody, any place, any government, anything, shut down what God is in your life. And they say shut the door, keep preaching to God. If they hang you, keep preaching to God. But what if I die? If you die, God can bring you back in the resurrection. Should somebody say amen? Hallelujah. And so we are responsible to send the gospel. Jesus said it this way, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. He said in Matthew 28:19, he said, go therefore, make disciples to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always until the end of the age. In China, communism, Chairman Mao said, one day the church is going to be relegated to our history books and your Bibles to our museums. We sent 3 million fire Bibles into China. Chairman Mao is dead, and the Word of God is alive. Would you say amen? Somebody says communism is going to take over. Today in Russia, there are 7 times more Christians than there was communists at the height of the Communist Party. Communism will not take down the Church of Jesus Christ. Socialism will rule today. In Cuba today, there are 10,000 churches and preaching ports. They are being persecuted. They are starving. They are hurting. But one thing that is not going to happen, they are not going to shut their mouth. They're going to continue to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there is revival on the island today because they are believing God to continue to send the gospel. When you guys helped us to start the Bible school in Cuba, their desire was that they could send missionaries around the world. I report to this church and to this pastor today. The last time I was in Cuba was nearly 2 years ago, and I was introduced to the brand new Assemblies of God World Missions office, and they are now sending missionaries from Cuba around the world to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. That happened because you made that happen with your gifts. In the Muslim world, we get so shook up about them. But friend, let me tell you, God is not afraid of Islam. Today there have been more Muslims come to Christ in the last 15 years than the previous 1,300 years. God is giving dreams and visions, and he is showing himself strong in the world of Islam today because he is strong. You say, well, what about Africa? On the continent of Africa, there are more people being born again in some countries than are being born in those countries. We're living in the greatest day of the Church of Jesus Christ. God is not dead. He's not even sick. I'm telling you, he's sending the gospel around the world through men and women like you. And it happens all kinds of ways. I was with my friend from Voice of the Martyr. His name, I won't tell you his name because every time I see him, his name changes because they have to change his name because it's dangerous. He was telling me a story. You may have been sitting there, Mike, I don't know. He was telling me a story about being in Syria, in Lebanon, and some new brothers had come to Christ, and they wanted some Bibles to pass out in Syria. And so they set up to meet on the border, and late at night, he met them. They come up with their donkey. He only brought one case of Bibles. And they said, you only brought one case. We need 300 at least. And so he said, oh, you didn't tell me. I didn't know. But I'll give you some more if you need them. So they text him a few days later and said, we need some more Bibles. So he's told them where to meet, and they were going to meet at that border. And so he got his 300 Bibles. He's ready to take them the night before he was to get there. They got another text that, hey, I can't make it. We can't make it, but we're going to send the donkey. And he thought, okay, they're going to send the donkey. A donkey is not a dog. You can't tell a donkey what to do. But he said, these people are great faith, so I went there and did what, and waited on them. And I'm sitting there getting mad at myself, ready to crank the car to leave about midnight, because I'm thinking, you're not going to see a donkey come down the road. And all of a sudden, a donkey starts walking, lumbering down the road toward them. And he watches the donkey, and the donkey walks right to his car and nudges the car. He gets out. He's blown away. He gets out. He loads the 300 Bibles on the donkey, and then he slaps the donkey on the rump, and he goes on, and he drives on. 2 days later, he gets a SMS, a text from the brothers that he sent the Bibles to. They said, the donkey arrived, and we got the Bibles. The theme of that story is this. It isn't that a donkey came and got the Bibles. The theme of the story is that God is so passionate to get his word around the world that he will use a donkey. And friend, if he can use a donkey, he can use you and I. Would you say amen? You guys helped us to start the Bible school in Cuba. I was in West Texas. I love Texas, but I don't love West Texas. I mean, the thing about West Texas, you got to be a real man to live in West Texas. And I'm growing up to be a man, but I love West. I do love the people of West Texas. Don't ever ask them what they think, because they will tell you. But one of the brothers that come from Dumas, Texas, was there. He said, I got to tell you a story. He said, we was trying to start a satellite church, a Spanish satellite church, and we just didn't have the Spanish-speaking pastors. Didn't know what I was going to do. My son's teaching at the school where they teach English. And he said, a couple weeks into this, there was a couple that come up to us and said, are you a pastor? He said, yes. And he said, well, we are pastors. We're from Cuba. And he said, we were trained at the Global University School, and we got a Kindle that was provided by us, and said we had to leave our Kindle when we left Cuba. And so they began to work with them, and ended up these people that were trained at Global University in Cuba are now the Spanish pastor in Dumas, Texas. Come on, you sent the gospel. I said you sent the gospel, and now the gospel is coming back. Listen, help us today. This is what your church is going to do. What you put down on this card is a faith promise. It simply says, I promise by faith that if Jesus gives me a certain amount of money, I'm going to do what I can. If God gets it to me, he can trust me to get it through me. You say, well, Dave, what if I put down a faith promise and I don't make it? Well, what if you put down a faith promise and you do? What if you give God a chance to do something big in your life? A faith promise is not what you have in your budget or what you have in your billfold. It's what God puts in your heart to help your church. This church is involved in all types of ministries here in this community, around this state, and around the world. What you're saying when you do this is you're saying, pastors, you can depend on me to do my part to help you get the job done. Listen, there's only three things you can do with missions. Go, send, or disobey. I was in Covington, Tennessee, and a little lady put on a faith promise. She put down an amount that literally scared her pastor to death. If you put a faith promise down that scares you to death, that's God. If you put one down that scares Brother Mike, that's a miracle. Well, the pastor saw it. He was immediately concerned. He went down to her. He said, sister, I know you meant well. I know the preacher got you turned on with this thing. But listen, I don't want you to feel obligated for this large faith promise. She looked at him. She said, pastor, I thought this faith promise was between me and God, not you and me. Said, well, yes, it is. Well, let me and God work it out. That year, there was a company that moved to town that wanted to buy her landline phone number because it spelled out their business name. And when she got the check, it was exactly the amount that she put on her faith promise. God's not surprised by what he puts in your heart. You say, well, God asked me to give what I don't know. God will not ask you to give what you don't have, but many times he will ask you to give what you want to keep. So today, Lord, we ask you to speak to our hearts. Once I don't have to urge these people. They're ready to do. They're ready to give. I pray, Lord, that you speak to our. Some of us come in here with a certain amount. Lord, I pray, God, that you speak to us, that we would do more than what we plan to do in our mind. We do something you put in our heart. As Mary said to the servant, whatever he says to do, do it. So, Lord, speak to our hearts. Cuba and Africa and China and Peru, about Amy and the missionaries and Speed of Light and BGMC. It's so heavy, Lord. But God, all of us doing something can make a difference around the world. So speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. when you got that, fill that out. Pastor's going to come, and he'll talk to you and fix up what I messed up. But you fill that out, and you put in whether you want to do it by the month or by the week. Look, all of us can do something, okay? All of us. Say it with me. All of us can do something. And then when you get done with it, you tear that one off, and you put that one in that big. Look, pastors believe in that big old barrel is going to be filled up back there. So you put it in that barrel, and you take the other home, and you put it on your refrigerator because that's where you go to more than anywhere, amen? And that's what you're going to do. God bless you. Thank you for letting me be a part of your day today. I love you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Won't you stand with me this morning? Thank you. I love these stories. I could hear them. I could listen to them all day long. Because sometimes the way we frame things, the way we view things, we judge the activity of the Holy Spirit based on what's going on in our culture. And sometimes we even judge the church, the universal church, by what's happening in our local church or the church in the West. I get stories all the time, many that, you know, just because of the sensitive places where they are, I can't really share, because we do live streaming now, and there's a lot of places that if you talk about what missionaries are doing, it would be a very dangerous thing to them. But He's not static. The activity of the Holy Spirit is alive and well right now. There are people, as he said, that are being born again every second of every day. People are finding Christ because somebody went to tell them. You know, Paul simply said it best in Romans 10, how can they hear, how can they believe in a gospel they've not heard, and how can they hear a gospel when they've not been told? And how can they be told if somebody's not sent? And see, God figured that out a long time ago, that there's always, God's all, you think about the Old Testament, you think about the Ark of the Covenant, okay, the Old Testament Ark of the Covenant, which was the representation of the presence of God on earth. Every time you see that piece of furniture, that tabernacle furniture was moved, it was to be borne on the shoulders of men. And you think about what that means in the New Testament. It means that the gospel, God could have done anything he wanted. He could have come up with another way. He could have created different ways and to reach people, but he's chosen to let us shoulder the responsibility of carrying the gospel around the world, and we still do that. Right now, through our missions program here at Bethel, we support 45 missionaries on a monthly basis. We also support maybe 10, 12 different projects that take place, whether it be the Cuba Bible College. We're involved in the Vietnam Bible College. We work with orphanages. We work with Convoy of Hope. We do feeding programs in different Latin American countries. There are a lot of things that we have partnered with and been involved in because it's the right thing to do. I said to the early service this morning, one day we're going to stand in heaven and we'll meet people that we've never personally met. There'll be people that will come up to us and they'll say, thank you, because of you, I'm in heaven today. And you'll scratch your head and you'll wonder, what do you mean? It's like the old song that says, thank you for giving to the Lord. Well, that really is going to be fleshed out. It's going to be lived out because there'll be people there that you and I have not met, but because of our faithfulness, Amy Farley is in Ho Chi Minh City preaching the gospel. Some years ago, we had a missionary, I'll just call his first name's Luke. And let me tell you, the missions that we do today, they're not, I mean, God, they're just so outside the box, it's not even funny. It's not every missionary goes to a country and builds a church and sits there and there's all kinds of missionaries. We actually had a missionary here, again, his name's Luke, who went to a very sensitive part of the world, and what got him there, and the Christians were not allowed there. But the reason that he was allowed to go there was he was a falconer. Falconer is someone who knows how to use falcons to hunt, and he was an expert falconer, and so he was able to go into these countries, restricted countries, because he taught them how to use falcons to hunt. But wherever he went, the light followed, and he used that as an opportunity to share the gospel, whether it be going to teach English. I mean, again, I want to be careful about what I say, but there are all kinds of things with missions, with the Speed of Light, that our youth just bought a truck for a Convoy of Hope in Nicaragua. We've bought, as David said, we bought donkeys before. I don't know anybody's barbecued one of those, but We bought donkeys. We bought a boat. We bought a boat for a missionary in the Amazon because they didn't need a car. They couldn't drive a car up the Amazon River, but they needed a boat. I mean, all kinds of things because people need to hear. And I love the scripture David selected out of Matthew. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness, and the end shall come. You know why it's to be preached in all the world? Because God's not willing that any perish, but that all come to repentance. And we get to be a part of that. So this morning, as you complete that on your way out, drop it in that barrel that's back there. Pastor Devin is back there. Drop it in that barrel. What that does is that helps us next year to know the projects and missionaries. Listen, I've got a file of missionaries that are waiting to be supported. I never tell one no. I say, you know what? I'm going to put it aside. We'll put it in our file when we can't. We're going to do this. We've never dropped one missionary in my tenure as pastor here for 28 years. We've never dropped one. We've had some through attrition that have, you know, that have not, that have retired, moved on, but we've never cut one missionary that once we've agreed to pick them up. I think that's important. You know, it's just resource. I love what Dan Betzer always said. Who are you saving it for? The Antichrist? You know, because when the trumpet sounds, we're out of here. And all the stuff we've accumulated won't matter anymore. But what we've done beyond that will pay dividends throughout all eternity. As we close this morning, I always want to do this because I think it's important. Listen, I don't know. I know today's Mission Sunday. Maybe you're a guest here this morning. Maybe you came and you don't really understand all that we're... That's okay. I understand that. But listen, I truly believe that you're here not by accident but by divine appointment. I don't believe in randomness. I believe that God orders our steps. And so how I want to close this morning is maybe you're here this morning and maybe you're facing a mountain. Maybe you've got a giant in your life. Listen, faith promises that. It's a faith thing. It's like God, I'm going to trust you to get this to me and through me to missionaries around the world. That's faith. The Bible calls us to live by faith and to walk by faith. And sometimes that's harder said, that's easier said than done, right? Because faith tells us to step out in the unknown. It gets us out there where things are not quite comfortable, where all we have is God. Well, maybe that's where you are this morning and online is you as well. Maybe there's some things in your life this morning. Maybe it's a health crisis. Maybe it's a financial crisis. Maybe it's a relational crisis. You know, we live right now in a time when relationships are fracturing left and right. Marriages, family dynamics, parent-child relationships. There's all kinds of things that are happening right now in our world. The stress is taking a toll on our families. The very basic building block of society, stress, is killing our families. But as David said, I believe in resurrection power. What was once dead can live again. By faith, I believe that God can touch my sick body. By faith, I believe that God can touch my dead marriage, my dead family dynamic. By faith, I believe that God can touch my dead finances, my deadbeat job. I believe that by faith. So I want to ask you this morning, as we close, do you need faith this morning to believe that mountain? You know, the Bible says, you don't need a lot of faith. Remember how much faith you need? Mustard seed. Some of you might remember years ago, when we had that communion table set right here, I had a jar, a little dish on that table full of mustard seed. And there would be times when we would have altars where people would come down for prayer and I would feel impressed of the Lord to go pray with them. And I would grab one of those mustard seeds and I would take it to them and I'd say, this is all you need. This is all you need. See, we think we have to have just monumental faith. Jesus said, just faith of a mustard seed. Just dare to believe. And I want to pray with you this morning as we close. How many of you this morning would say, you know what, Pastor, I need that miracle. I'm facing a giant. I'm facing a situation that the truth of the matter is I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know when the sun comes up tomorrow, if I'm still here, if the Lord tarries. I don't know what's going to happen. That job I thought I had, I didn't get. That bonus that's supposed to have come in didn't come in. I don't know what I'm going to do. That health crisis that I thought was over has resurrected itself again in my life. You know, Jesus told the disciples, have faith in God. Have faith in God. I want to challenge you to have faith. Trust Him. That doesn't mean things will change when you walk out the door overnight. But have faith and don't doubt. Because we serve a good, good God who's been good to us. How many of this morning say, Pastor, you know what? That's me. I want faith. I want faith to rise up to believe that with God these things are possible. Whatever you're facing, whatever challenge, are you here this morning? Say, you know, Pastor, pray for me. There's some things in my life. There's some mountains. There's some giants that I need faith to rise up just to believe. So, see, what happens is oftentimes we magnify our problems and minimize our God. And I'm just here to say this morning, why don't you magnify your God and minimize your problems? See, take your eyes off the size of the problem and look at the size of your God, because, listen, He's a big, big God who's never lost a battle, and He's not going to start with you. So how many this morning need a miracle in your life in that regard? How many? Just lift your hand, write it right back down. Listen, it's okay. Just write it right back down. Online, if you'll comment, we'll pray with you this morning. Listen, I believe. Listen, yes, it's Mission Sunday, but you know what? He's still a miracle-working God. I've been to Cuba a few times, and hearing that they're sending missionaries around the world. Listen, what a powerful country for the kingdom of God. That's a miracle. He's still in the miracle business. I want us to pray together this morning. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you that the activity of the Holy Spirit is still alive and well. Lord, it would be wrong of us to try to assess what you're doing based on what's going on in our country. Lord, there's a lot wrong right now. But even with that said, Lord, you're still reaching people. Lord, there's still people in the streets of America that you're reaching with the light of the gospel. Lord, there's still people in America that you're calling into ministry and calling into mission. So the activity of the Holy Spirit in our streets and in our country is still alive and well. Lord, and around the world where places where it's illegal, where, Lord, they have forbidden people to worship, they're still worshiping. Lord, you said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it, Lord. Communism will rise and fall. Socialism will rise and fall. But you will still build your church and the gates of hell will not prevail. The activity of the Holy Spirit is alive and well today. And Father, for that, we are grateful. Lord, every hand that went up in the building this morning, Lord, I pray that faith would rise up. Not a lot of faith, just that mustard seed faith. Just to dare to believe that family member will be saved. That financial crisis will be averted, will be mitigated, Lord. That health concern, Lord, that you as the healer will touch them and heal. Let faith rise up this morning to dare to believe that with you all things are possible. Lord, I pray this morning as we have done for the last 28 years, as we stand together and commit to missions. Lord, it's not just here. We do a lot of ministry in our own community, but Lord, it's beyond that. It's in our Jerusalem and our Judea and our Samaria and to the uttermost part of the world. Let us continue until you call us home. Let us be faithful until you call us home. Let us sacrifice until you call us home. Lord, I pray a blessing upon every person here now. I pray, Father, we walk out of here with our faith stirred. Lord, as we hear these stories, Lord, again, these are real stories, real events that have taken place. And again, if we could chronicle everything that took place, just like John said in his gospel, I suppose if everything Jesus did were written down, that the world itself could not contain the volumes. Lord, if it were to be written down today, what you're doing in our world, we would be alarmed, overwhelmed with the information because you're working today, because you're not willing that any perish. Father, help us to rise to the occasion. Help us, Lord, in these times where fear is all around us, to step up boldly and shine the message of Jesus in a darkened world. Now, Father, I pray as we walk out of here today, may we walk out, Lord, just believing. May we walk out by faith, and may we face those giants by faith, Lord. And Lord, I pray that we learn to live in that victory that you've already assured to us. Father, I love and I bless each one today, Lord, as we step out in faith with our faith promises. Lord, I pray that many lives will be touched because of our faithfulness. I ask you to give us a wonderful day, and Lord, should you tarry, bring us again the next appointed time. Lord, I pray that you would help us to walk with that consciousness that every day we're walking with you, and every day is an opportunity for a miracle to flow to us and through us to touch a hurting world around us. I love and bless each one now in the mighty name of Jesus, and we all said, amen, amen. God bless you. Thank you for joining us online. I look forward to seeing you next time. I love you very much.
In every moment, you have made things new. here in the small. We are here for you. You have our attention, all our eyes on you. And we're here expecting for what you will do. So do what you want to do. I will go where your spirit moves. Nothing else matters in your presence. Nothing else matters. Here and now, we are here. Every season, you've been faithful to, keeping your promise, every word is true. So regardless of outcome, we draw near.
Says to me.